welcome to another edition of Coffee with a Coach. Nick Serbinski joined by Dartmouth men's hockey head coach and ECAC player alum, Reed Cashman. Coach, thanks for jumping on today.
Thanks for having me.
So it's obviously this year you've been with Dartmouth, you've been at the World Juniors, you had a little bit up and down, but really put it together last weekend, two wins on the road, which is never easy to do in this league, at Brown, at Yale, to pick up six league points. How important was it for your team to get that confidence that, hey, we can get this done on the road?
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you got to get a result, right? At a certain point, you know, competing and being close and all the cliches that you got to win. You got to get the results, and ultimately that's what we want to do here. So I was really excited for our guys that they got rewarded for some good work and put together, like you said, two games on the road, two Ivy League games on the road, and put ourselves in position to compete to get home ice in the first round.
And you said, you know, the competing and being close, obviously it's consolation for a coach, but you have to look at some of it as growth, where being, you know, losing an overtime game to Merrimack, winning the next one against Yale, and then the last few before these wins last weekend, an OT loss to St. Lawrence, one goal game against Clarkson. So you've been battling, you've been in them. What changed this weekend that gave you the ability to finish those last two games?
Well, probably the number one thing was our power play scored five goals, you know, and that's in these one goal games, we've been in a lot of them this year. Special teams makes the difference most nights. And Troy Thibodeau has done a great job on our power play and had a good plan. And then ultimately our players, you know, executed. And there's the difference on both Friday and Saturday night.
And heading into the rest of the schedule, obviously you're done with the non-conference. You head to a good home stretch here. Every game besides the last weekend is at home. It's got to be nice to kind of say, hey, we're going to park the bus a little bit, stay home, be confident, be comfortable, and get into a routine. Does that help you going into games against Cornell and Colgate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, like you said, seven out of our last nine are at home, and the next seven are at home. And so now there's some consistency in our practice time, some consistency in meals, some consistency in sleep, and all that. And so I think that does give us a chance to have some success, and again, finding a way to get the results here on this homestand. And ultimately, it's always been about building towards the playoffs. Like, we need to be the best versions of ourselves when that first round happens, and that's what we're building towards.
And in a league, I mean, most leagues do it now, but every team has the ability to make the playoffs, right? So you know you're going to be there. You're going to be playing somewhere in that first round. How much different is it for your experience to have – no matter how many wins or losses you have, you know you're going to be playing games that matter at the end. Is there a different mentality in your head as a coach of driving some of those bigger picture things to say, hey, we just need to make sure we're right at that moment?
I don't know if it's different than when I was in college hockey before Dartmouth. We're just aware that it's a second season. The records are done. As soon as we play St. Lawrence, whatever our record is, it is, and then it's, you throw it away, and you get ready for the second season. And we've all followed sports long enough to know that teams are playing well at the end of the year, teams are getting goaltending at the end of the year, teams that special teams are clicking at the end of the year. You can make a run, and you can put something special together. And so that's exciting, I think, for our league, but that's exciting for our group to know that there is a second season coming, and we are building towards that.
And talking about building, you certainly have had that build from when you took over at Dartmouth. Didn't get the best break with COVID hitting, you know, right away pretty much for you. How much did you have to kind of show that to your group, that mentality of, hey, things are going to happen, we're going to just learn through it, we're going to get through it together and see how we can come out on the other end?
Yeah, we've tried to, like, COVID didn't just happen to us. I mean, it happened to the whole country, right? And so we've kind of gotten over that thought process and things we can control, things we can't control, and focusing on the controllables. Again, day by day, being the best versions of ourselves, that constant development, that constant build. And that's all we can do. And whatever happened today, we have to be a little bit better tomorrow, whether we liked the result or didn't like the result. And keep moving forward. I think for the most part, our guys have done that. We've hit some speed bumps, which is natural. Again, that's where we are craving the results. And so it's nice to get it, because when you don't get it, it becomes more challenging to keep that grind going.
And shifting gears a little bit, talking about your your past and your career on the coaching side, no strangers to the UCAC, a lot of good years with Quinnipiac. How much did that experience and then your experience going to the NHL with the Capitals lead you to be ready to be a head coach?
Well, I've been very blessed selfishly to be in around Quinnipiac for those 5 years and learn from Rand and learn from Billy and then the 2 years Hershey, 2 years Washington. Really what it was I got to learn from a lot of different people, you know, whether it's guys I coached at all three of those spots, whether it was coaches I worked for. I worked for some really great coaches. And then I would even go back to, you know, I played for seven teams in 4 years of pro hockey, which isn't good for a playing career, but it's good for a coaching career. And so I've kind of tried to learn from everywhere I've been, but also seeing that the best coaches are authentic. So I try to be myself and take the good from people I've worked, been around. And then some things, if I don't agree with, then I can leave that. And again, just be very authentic in what I want to be as a coach. So hockey wise, feel great about where we're at. Troy Thibodeau and Jason Tapp bring a different background as well. Successful, have won at multiple stops. And so I think the three of us sitting in a room are excited about hockey and how we can grow this program and where we're building towards.
Yeah, you mentioned 4 years of pro and your elite prospects page, really, you get your money's worth. It's got a lot more length to it.
Longer than it should be.
And then as a player, you mentioned the pro side, but as a player, you know, in the ECAC and at Quinnipiac, one of the best players in the program's history, and, you know, people may argue the best at some point. I know you don't like to talk about yourself too much on that note, but the success that you had and then guiding that program as a coach to what the level they got to, how important is that you know, without promoting Quinnipiac, you're a Dartmouth guy now, I get it, but how important is it for you to be a part of a legacy that now you've seen continue to grow?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's arguing I'm the best player in program history anymore with Taze and Clifton and Annis and the Joneses and Pekka, and I was passed long ago. It's great for our league to have the number one team in the country be an ECAC team, or to be a top five team, be out of our league. It shows some of the skill, some of the depth, you know, what Harvard and Cornell are doing as well. Our league is in a really healthy spot, and it's up to Dartmouth and some of these other teams to catch up. And we know what we're building towards, and again, who we're chasing, but that's exciting. With Quinnipiac in particular, it's satisfying because I played at the Norford Ice Pavilion. I saw when the new rink was built. I got six games in it. I was in Atlanta Hockey, then moved to the ECAC. I just feel like I got to be a part of a lot of the growth of it. And that, as much as Dartmouth has been around since 1905, you know, you have to take a long-term approach with what we're trying to get towards. And I've seen a program build to become an elite program, and I believe we're capable of doing that at Dartmouth as well.
And prior to you at Dartmouth, that, you know, the person who kind of put that in that place to have you be able to build it now is Bob Gaudette, and this weekend celebrating him at the game against Colgate on Saturday. How much advice and input on the program have you gotten from him? What is the relationship like with him as, you know, he's transitioned into retirement and you've taken over the helm?
Yeah, I mean, Bob's been very supportive. I mean, he was on the Final Four team in 1980 as a hockey player at Dartmouth, between an assistant coach and head coach, close to 30 years at Dartmouth, and then was a head coach at Brown. So over 400 wins in the ECAC. So this legendary coach has been very supportive, but also has given me some room to kind of learn on the job, right? I know he's always there to support, and this is going to be a great weekend. Because of COVID, we haven't had a chance to honor him the way he deserves to be honored. Over 300 people have signed up to come back. It's going to be an awesome celebration. And again, one that he deserves as really one of the most successful ECAC coaches in the history of the league.
And I mean, the numbers and accolades that he has obviously are unmatched at Dartmouth for right now. And obviously you don't want to look too far ahead, but you continue to build and 1 year at a time to see maybe having him in the building gives you some magic this weekend and continue this run against two more ECAC teams.
Well, it sets us up to have energy on Friday night. You know, coming off of two wins provides some energy. You know, knowing the amount of alums that are going to be in the building, our guys are excited about that opportunity. And then you give us a top 10 opponent, and then you give us an Ivy League on top of that. It's it sets us up to have energy, and it's always been great games versus Cornell. So we're excited for that challenge. And again, it sets up well for a great weekend for Dartmouth.
And some of that energy is obviously just raw emotion and being in the building, like you said, with all those alums. And on the flip side, for me, looking through your roster and looking at some of the statistics, I think it was like six of your top seven scorers are freshmen or sophomores. Do those guys at this point not even know any better? They must kind of bring that energy all the time. That's why they're in that spot. And how does that drive you from these young guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think which is what you hope for. Your team, you know, one, starts to take over the locker room a little bit the second half of the year, and two, younger players start to feel, you know, comfortable at this level. And college hockey is challenging. You know, it's an older league. You know, it's juniors and seniors really are in charge of college hockey, and their bodies are filled out, and they're grown men. And at a certain point, you know, it could be 6 weeks into their freshman year, it could be halfway through the sophomore year, it kind of clicks. And we feel like we've had some young guys that are starting to turn that corner and get comfortable in the league and get comfortable in college hockey. And so now their challenge is, okay, we figured it out a little bit. Now we got to get them uncomfortable again, right? Now we got to get them to another level. But they've gotten some results lately. We're excited about that. Again, I go back to Troy and Jason spend a ton of time with these guys individually on development, and whether it's video or on the ice. And so we are excited about the trajectory of some of those guys.
The last two questions I have, both are related to things behind you on that wall. One, USA had the World Junior experience, you know, at a point when you've done the AHL, the NHL, college head coach, associate head coach, that's a new experience for you and your career. Tell me a little bit about what that was like for you as a coach and that whole, you know, atmosphere.
Yeah, it was unique. So I've never been a part of a, let's just call it a 3-week tournament or 2-week tournament, however long it was. And that's a different animal, right? You're not coaching as much as you're managing, and you're trying to put guys in position to succeed. But the biggest takeaway was just how great it was to be a part of USA Hockey and to be part of Team USA. And then the pride and passion that not only our group had, but the other nine countries. It was a tournament full of emotion and, like I said, pride. And then the fan bases up in Moncton and Halifax, every game was sold out. And then it's best on best. It's really hockey's only best on best until the NHL gets back to the Olympics. And so all that stuff, we thought we had a great tournament. We got matched up versus Canada, and they got the better of us. And then we responded the next night, 8-7. And it's I don't think it's the way Rand wanted to win it, but it's it was a win either way. So really good experience, really grateful for USA Hockey to ask me to be a part of it. And then also for Dartmouth to let me go, and hope to do it again in the future.
Yeah, you two guys on the bench, not expecting, not really comfortable with that result, right? When you get 15 goals on the board.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We've Rand and I have come a long way from again the Norford Ice Pavilion, which is a great place to play, to be on that stage at the World Juniors, and again grateful for him to give me the opportunity as well. It was fun to coach with him again.
And then the last question I'll ask you, and you may duck me on this one, but you have the Capitals picture behind you. You got an Ovechkin story for us?
Man, the best thing I say about Ovi is he's as unselfish of a person as I've been around, which is crazy if you think about his goal scoring. But he celebrates other guys' goals as much as he celebrates his own. Passes up way more shots than I could ever imagine. You know, the one that I've heard it before, but that caught me off guard was, like, this guy loves pop or soda. And so, like, he usually has either Dr. Pepper or Coke on the bench in the game. And he has like a Gatorade bottle, a water bottle, and then Dr. Pepper. And he rinses his mouth out with it. And it's crazy what he's capable of, but that's not your traditional nutritional guide Drinking Dr. Pepper in between periods.
So. I was going to say, any high school and youth kids watching this, don't take that note. I don't think it leads to 900 goals when you're drinking soda on the bench.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though. Like, when I was at Quinnipiac with Connor and Kellen Jones, and I'd go in between periods, and they'd be crushing Snickers and Three Musketeers. And so everyone's body's a little different. But it was pretty special to be around Ovi for a couple of years and see how he approaches the game and how much he loves it, right? And that passion translates and love for the game translates, and nobody loves the game more than he does.
Yeah, I was always told less sugar and less snacks, and that's probably what cost me my career, and that's why I'm sitting here doing this interview instead, right?
Yeah, I think guys get in trouble when they try to have the same diet as Ovi, though, because there's only one ounce of best, and that's for sure.
Well, no, the biggest thing you said that stands out is he enjoys it. And you talk about, you know, some kids at some point, college, high school, you'd say, well, as long as you're having fun, and it becomes that cliche. But really, I mean, you can tell from every time he celebrates, nobody has more fun. And right now, no one's scoring more goals. Do you think he passes Gretzky?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, he obviously has to stay healthy, but he's just wired differently. He looks like an NFL fullback. He's so thick and strong and he'll stay healthy and he'll break the record and he'll do it the right way. You know, everyone sees the one tease on the power play, but go watch most of his goals. They're within 3 feet of the net. I mean, that guy's big and strong and he goes to the right places. So,
well, Reed, I appreciate you taking the time. I know the viewers will as well. Two big ones this weekend at home as you start a big homestand to put you in that race for a home seed in the playoffs. So good luck this weekend celebrating Coach Gaudette, taking on Cornell and Colgate. And again, we appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it, man.